This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Deborah Rodriguez, author of Kabul Beauty School. How many years did you live in Afghanistan?
Five long ones.
Why were you there?
I started out with disaster relief, a hairdresser by trade, but I trained in disaster relief.
What is that?
I trained with a group. We were supposed to be able to deploy out to like Katrina or to the tsunamis, first responders, really fast, 3 days and you're out. You know, you have to be able to leave very quickly. And I trained.
Who's sponsored for that? Is that a government?
It was a private organization, actually out of Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. And my first job or my first deployment was 9/11.
Oh.
Yeah, I finished my training and wound up at 9/11, which, you know, just changed all of our lives.
Yes, and so you went to New York.
I went to New York. I was there working with the firefighters. Hard. Very, very emotionally draining. Changed my life. Nothing will ever be the same again. It was amazing.
So how many years later was this assignment?
I believe that I begged them to take me, because I'm a hairdresser. They were medical. From the time, so October through, I believe I left 1st of May. That was the first time that I was able to go with them. And being a hairdresser and not medical, I was kind of useless because I really wanted to go. And I think they were wondering why they were taking a hairdresser on this medical team. But I knew because I looked at their hair. So I went on this medical team. And as I was, you know, getting used to Afghanistan, the foreigners found out that I was a hairdresser. And I was just bombarded with requests, and I could not figure out why nobody could get a decent haircut. Or, you know, everybody had big old gray roots and bad perms. And that was when I, you know, started investigating the beauty salons and had gone underground. Taliban had made them illegal. So that's, you know, it was just kind of one of those things.
When you went there, what was the political situation?
Well, they did not have a president yet. Taliban had just left.
And they had left. The Americans were there.
We were there. There was a very, very strong presence. I mean, tanks were everywhere. I mean, you look in your rearview mirror and you got a tank coming up on the back of you.
So you were driving a car?
Not the first time I wasn't, but after that I started driving briefly because driving's tough there.
Well, it's a war zone.
It's that scarf. Your vision on the sides. And I was saying, you know, pedestrians, you're dodging camels and donkeys and, you know, people on bikes. I was picking off bikes left and right with my mirrors. So it wasn't a good thing.
Oh, well, the subtitle of your book is An American Woman Goes Behind the Veil.
Yeah, not so good for driving, though.
So indeed you were behind the veil.
Well, I mean, we were all behind the veil, you know, everybody, because
woman.
He almost had to be. I mean, it was just not appropriate not to be. In the very beginning, as time went on, the political situation, actually, I would have to say the political situation was 100 times better than it is right now.
100 times?
Oh, there's not a comparison. I felt safer in 2002 than anybody would now. It's deteriorated so bad.
And so there were tanks in the street then? There was gunfire?
Not a lot. I mean, we heard more bombs and, you know, there was always your rockets and bombs and stuff like that. But the gunfire that you would always hear would be usually from the German restaurant across the street from me. When the Germans got out drunk, they'd just be shooting at each other.
Well, back to the beauty school.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I went into a beauty shop trying to figure out what was going on with beauty shops. As a hairdresser, you know, you have to see. And I walked into this salon that was about the size of a big bathroom. And I walked in and I saw scissors that looked like giant hedge clippers.
Ooh.
And I'm looking at this broken mirror and I'm seeing this woman get her hair permed with sticks.
Ooh.
And I saw them put the perm solution on. I mean, little teeny rollers, anybody who's had a perm can just visualize this, little teeny rollers with rubber bands, a stick, and they put the solution on. She put her burqa on, and she left. They did not rinse the perm off. I was horrified.
Which means
I didn't know what that meant. I thought, is she coming back? No. She lets it dry into her hair, and then she removes the perm rods and drops the perm rods off at the beauty shop. So therefore, there's a lot of really, really frizzy hair.
And really, so, really.
Yeah. And you know, bless their heart, they were doing everything they could to keep this. This is a huge trade. The beauty industry is so popular. The weddings, hair and makeup are just part of that culture. It wasn't something we were bringing in. They're way more into the hair and makeup than we are. And I'm talking bling. I always kind of relate it to like drag queenish. I mean, I hate to say that, but it's kind of true the way we would visualize it. And it was just one of those, I thought, what can I do? But didn't quite know what. I thought, oh, I could bring perms back. I could bring scissors back. And then someone says, why don't you teach them to do hair? Because the skill level had dropped. It'd been 30 years since there had been probably any functioning school. And, you know, they just had lost some of their skill. Like, they lost a lot of their cooking. They lost their how to make the really good Afghan food because they didn't have the ingredients. Mm. So what, like an Afghan who is here now, who fled like 20 years, 25 years ago, mm-hmm. cooks totally different than the Afghans now. It's odd. So I linked up with an organization in New York and the school was born.
So what did you do in the school?
Taught hair.
Taught hair. And how did you get your students?
You don't have to worry about getting students. They find you. I mean, the first class, we had to kind of go to the salons and tell them this is what we're doing. But after that, once they know where you're at, and you don't even have to have a sign, you could be, you know, underground in a cave. They'll find you because this is, so, I mean, we turned down hundreds each time we had applications.
Who's we?
Well, me and the girls that were teaching,
mm-hmm. you know. And the Afghan girls.
Yeah, right? Yeah. They all helped me with, you know, I always had somebody who was managing. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was after the first class was all foreigners teaching, which is nice, but it's very expensive. The Afghans need to teach each other.
Right.
Because the language, otherwise everything's twice as long because you're having a translator and all that sort of stuff.
Where did you get your supplies?
Oh, shipped it all in from the States. Paul Mitchell donated tons, like $100,000 worth of shampoo.
Really?
Redken, Paul Mitchell, MAC, Vogue, a Matrix, you name it. Every hair company, I think, in this country donated product. It was amazing. I was always afraid that somebody was going to steal my fingernail polish and you would see houses painted in that color. You know, I had so much shampoo. But we went through it. You can go through a lot of shampoo.
Who's running the school now?
Right now, when I left, we were in the process of graduating our seventh or eighth class. We had graduated at that point. It would have been 182 students. The security situation is really tough right now. Linking, an Afghan linking up, knowing that people are going to an American or a foreign school is not actually the safest thing for the girls. So we've just kind of put everything on hold. We always have to raise money. We need mannequin heads. We need more scissors. We're always trying to raise money.
How did you raise money?
Oh, I mean, we've done everything from baking cookies and selling them outside of Sam's Club.
In Afghanistan?
No, in Eastern Michigan. To, you know, different people just donating money. You know, because I have a website and people can donate money. And
what's your website?
It's www.oasisrescue.com. You know, so basically right now is what we're doing is we can't do anything in the wintertime now. It's just too cold. It's too difficult to get around. But hopefully this spring, I want to go kind of underground because I want it to be a safe location.
Yes.
I will not be recognized as part of the school. I don't want people in Afghanistan to know, oh, that's Debbie. You know, that's that American school. It's going to be run the same way, but it's going to be run by Afghans. You know, but we're going to, Afghans working with Afghans, therefore will not be noticed as a foreign school. It's safer. It won't get bombed.
Well, thank you. My guest is Deborah Rodriguez, author of Kabul Beauty School, published by Random House. This is Diana Courtney with Book Talk.